The six-day conference on world trade, meeting in the Gulf state of Qatar, has ended successfully. The World Trade Organization has launched a new round of trade talks to last about 4 years, continuing the move toward global trade agreements begun in 1947. Bruce Stokes joins us to talk about the WTO and what's been accomplished in this latest meeting. He is an adjunct fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations and writes about trade policy. The trade talks are over, so what does it mean for us all that these trade negotiators went around the clock twice and stopped the clock for 18 hours and finally sealed a deal?
Well, what's good is that they decided to actually launch a round, which means that they'll get into negotiations. Nothing really immediately happens tomorrow in terms of liberalization of trade or reduction of trade barriers, but the hope is over time they'll be able to reduce trade barriers and that'll give a spurt to the global economy.
Two major issues that almost scuttled this round of trade talks. One was the question of government subsidies for agricultural exports, and the other was how the WTO treats countries which ignore patents and manufacture inexpensive versions of pharmaceuticals. Let's start with drugs. How big an issue is this, and how did they settle it?
It was a terribly important issue, one, because it's of immediate interest to the health of people who have AIDS or malaria in developing countries. The developing world wanted to be able to break patents, to be able to make these drugs generically, not have to pay the higher prices for the pharmaceuticals that are generally owned by rich countries. Clearly, the rich countries had no place to go here but to compromise because they were on the wrong side of the issue. They were morally on the wrong side of the issue. Politically and diplomatically, they're on the wrong side of the issue. They compromised. They said that developing countries could break these patents for all kinds of health problems, not just a crisis, not just something like AIDS. It could be diarrhea medicine. It could be malaria, tuberculosis medicine. Now, what the industrial countries refused to agree to was to allow one developing country to ship a generic product to another developing country. And the reason they did that, refused to do that, was because they're terrified that these cheaper AIDS drugs and so forth will begin to migrate into the industrial world, bring them into the United States and sell them cheaply.
What about agricultural subsidies? The Europeans, particularly the French, give their farmers substantial subsidies to maintain their very specialized brand of agriculture and to keep it from pricing itself out of the market. But the United States subsidizes agriculture also. The United States pays farmers millions of dollars. What happens to subsidized agriculture?
There are two kinds of subsidies to agriculture. One are domestic subsidies, which are not necessarily trade distorting, and the other are subsidies that affect exports. And what they'll be negotiating about are the potential reduction of export subsidies. They pulled a typical diplomatic finesse here. They fudged a bit because the French said, we don't want to even promise to reduce these things or eliminate them. So what happened was a wording change that said, without prejudging what we're going to do, we'll agree to talk about this. So in essence, they postponed the day when they'll have to have the fight. They'll fight about this later.
So some of the big issues are postponed and not resolved, and still that's counted as a success in WTO terms?
Well, among diplomats, any time you can keep talking is probably a success. I mean, the reality is that the time often changes circumstances. So 2 years ago in Seattle, when they tried to launch this round then and it fell apart, for example, the U.S. and the EU totally disagreed on whether we should talk about an investment or antitrust policy. 2 years later, the U.S. is more disposed to maybe talk about that, so time does begin to change things. If you kick things down the road long enough, maybe circumstances will change. People will be ready to deal.
China and Taiwan became members of the World Trade Organization during the course of this conference. What do you think is the significance of China's membership in WTO after all these years of negotiating and jockeying and back and forth?
The importance is that it reinforces the reformers in Beijing who say we need to move towards a market economy, and now they have some external foreign pressure to do that. They've made commitments. The problem, of course, is there's an old Chinese saying that says the mountains are very high and the emperor is very far away, and it'll be very difficult to get the Chinese to actually follow through on some of their commitments in the short run. And one of the challenges, probably the biggest challenge facing the WTO, is not this new round of negotiations, but how do they pick and choose their fights with China when China is not living up to its commitments? And that's going to be the real battleground in trade over the next couple of years.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bruce Stokes is an adjunct fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. He's the author of Democratizing U.S. Trade Policy, a monograph published by the Council.